Okie dokie, everyone. My name's Harry and I'm an alcoholic and a member of Al-Anon. Welcome to A Path Through the Program, a 10-part survey of various aspects of the AA program with a couple of different formats designed to appeal to both AAs and Al-Anons or indeed anyone using the 12 steps. We're ordinary members of the fellowship and we don't speak for AA or Al-Anon. We hope you find our experience helpful. The format of this session is as follows. Our three speakers will speak between us for about half an hour on a topic. As they're speaking, you're encouraged to write any questions you have on slips of paper. Paper and pens will be distributed. Our assistants John and Alistair will collect these during the meeting. We will then select questions and, if we can, address them by sharing our experience. The session will last for 50 minutes in total. The session is being recorded. Recordings will be made available online over the next few days at a member's personal blog site, which is not affiliated with AA. The QR code and site address are available here on the front table. Let's start with a few minutes of silent prayer to use as you wish. This session's topic is forgiveness. Libby's going to kick us off, followed by Danielle and Tom. Over to you, Libby.
Thank you. My name's Libby. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Libby.
Thank you for asking me to share today. And it's really nice to see lots of familiar faces and lots of not familiar familiar faces. When I was asked to share on forgiveness, I remembered a conversation I had when I was very new to AA about forgiveness. And I had this idea that in order to forgive someone else, I needed an apology. And I was waiting on a lot of apologies when I came to AA. And this conversation I had, this woman was just very frank with me and said, you know, you could be waiting a long time. If you're waiting for an apology, it could never come. Similarly, I was hoping other people would change their behavior and then I could forgive them. And I remember that conversation because I remember my stomach dropping, the realization that I, you know, I might never get an apology and I can't change other people. But then that afternoon, realizing the freedom in that, you know, actually I don't need an apology from someone else. I don't need someone to change in order for me to be able to forgive. And I remember that feeling quite liberating. All of my life, I'd thought that it was completely dependent on other people, you know, my internal state. And my first real experience of forgiveness was when I was going through the step four. And in the fourth column, I remember just realizing one day that I didn't feel anger towards this person. And I wasn't intentionally trying to forgive them. Like, I was just following the instructions of the step four. And I realized then that, you know, the step four was about me. You know, like, the step four, I catalog and disclose my behavior, my thinking, my beliefs. It's not about the other person. And all of my life, I thought forgiveness is saying, this is a bad person or they've done a bad thing. But then I decide that I'm okay with it, or I forgive them and I give them this forgiveness. And in the process of the step four and the fourth column, looking at me and my behavior, my thinking and my beliefs, and that anger just kind of melting away, I realized that the forgiveness was actually the undoing of everything that I'd built up. I had this anger that had been festering for years, and I tried so hard to either push it down and it would just kind of come out sideways, or I'd explode in rage. I'd also try to share the anger to anyone who would listen. I'd tell people why I was angry. You know that saying, like, a problem shared is a problem halved. Like, I thought if I could just tell hundreds of people, I wouldn't be angry anymore. And actually, I found that did the opposite. I was more angry by telling people. And it really was like setting aside any kind of judgment, any kind of opinion on the other person, and just looking at myself that something was happening, and I couldn't really explain how, after years of trying to let go of anger, like this anger was literally just melting away before me. And I, you know, I got to the end of that first step four, and there were still people that that it felt kind of sticky, particularly around family. And there was still a bit of this blame of like, if you had done things differently, then I would be different, you know. If you had done this, then my life wouldn't be this way. And I was introduced to this idea of by saying, you know, you're to blame for my life, I'm giving people this godlike power. I'm saying you are so powerful that you can determine the course of my life. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the idea of giving people this enormous amount of power. And actually it didn't make sense. You know, who am I to question God's plan for me? How can there be someone more powerful? You know, how could I say my parents are so much more powerful than God that they can derail me from God's plan? I found really helpful throughout this process as well, prayer. You know, for me, like forgiveness is all about a change in my perception, my perspective. And sometimes I was unwilling to see a new way. And when I was unwilling, it was suggested to pray for the willingness to see things differently. Sometimes it took to literally the point of going through the steps and getting to step nine where I made amends. Like it took to the point of making an amend to someone for me to see the error of my ways and for that forgiveness to kind of drop. I remember one conversation in particular where I sat across the table from someone and just that moment of realizing the humanity in that person and just every like the story that I'd built up, it just disappeared. And again, I don't think that's my doing. I think I wanted to touch on this question of like, am I forgiven? Because I was really concerned about this. And when I got sober, I genuinely thought I've just been such a bad person and I've done so much wrong that I can't possibly be forgiven. Like this is quite dramatic in all fairness, but I was really concerned about this. And what I did is I went through the steps, and in step five, I shared with other people and I realized that I'm just the same. You know, I'm the same as the people that I'm sharing the step five with. They shared their experience back with me. And I'm the same as the people on the step four. And then I went on to step eight and nine, and I went through step eight and I made a list of every single person. I asked God to show me anyone that I might have harmed or there's unfinished business. And I had this list of around 120 people, and it grew actually. And not all of them were like harm and amends. But I went through that list systematically and I made every amend. So a lot of those amends, I actually didn't hear anything back from these people. And I was tempted to reach out again, especially to ex-partners. You know, I was tempted just maybe one more message and they'll come back. And it kind of, I sat with that like little, almost like a little bit of discomfort. And I don't think I need them to say, it's okay, I forgive you. You know, I'm not sure it's about them saying, you know, I forgive you, but rather, you know, am I right with God? I don't believe God would withhold forgiveness from me. And there's this line in How It Works that I'd like to share. If we're sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and we'll have learned our lesson. And that's what's important for me, is like, my sponsor actually said to me, the only mistake you can make is not acknowledging the mistake that you've made. You know, like, the point is, like, I today look at my behavior and I make amends when necessary, and I hope that I can learn from experiences. Like, no experience is wasted necessarily. And I think I'll wrap up there.
Thank you.
Hi. When Harry asked me to share, my first thought was, my God, I'm the most judgmental, spiteful, vindictive person I know. I don't know why he's asking me to share on forgiveness. And then I also realised that I'm making it about me and I'm thinking about how unforgiving I am and how about whether I need people to forgive me. And then I thought, okay, so rather than give my opinion, I set about just looking up the meaning of forgiveness and what definitions there are out there. And there are a couple that I really liked. And one was, forgiveness is not merely accepting what happened or ceasing to be angry. Rather, it involves a voluntary transformation of your feelings, attitudes and behaviour, so that you are no longer dominated by the resentment and can express compassion, generosity or the like towards the person who wronged you. And the other one I really liked was, forgiveness is a spiritual principle that involves releasing resentment, anger and negative emotions towards oneself or others. It is not about condoning harmful actions or forgetting past experiences, but rather a process of letting go, finding compassion and reclaiming personal power. So for me, there are two sides to this, about being forgiven and about the forgiveness that I offer others. And my experience in recovery has been, initially it was about being forgiven for me. I came in, I had three small children, and I carried a lot of shame and guilt around the parent I'd become while I was drinking and my children were small. And I really struggled to find self-forgiveness. And I could see in my children, who are now adults, that they loved me unconditionally. I was their mum. The things that had happened, you know, did not diminish their love for me. They were angry. And my experience was, when my children reached their teenage years and I had a few years under my belt, that was actually when they became the angriest and their rage came out. And I was able to sit with that and listen to what they had to say and accept the harm that I'd caused or the harm that had happened as a result of my emotional absence and sometimes physical absence in my drinking. And what I learned was, because I really understand that this is an illness and I wasn't well, I was able to cultivate forgiveness for myself based on that, on time, on time. That's how it worked for me. And I remember writing inventory on my husband's ex-wife. I mean, the fact that she's his ex-wife would initially, like, create a problem for me. And I was writing this inventory and I was furiously writing away what she'd done and what a bitch she was and what shit mum she was to my stepson. And then I got to the fourth column and I had this overwhelming sense of, like, who do you think you are? You were an alcoholic mother who drank around your children and was an unfit parent at times. Like, who do I think I am? And what I learned in that moment, and it really was like a momentary switch, not in all areas, but just in this particular one, was that I'm a human being too and I make mistakes. And regardless of what she's done, I've done stuff too. And it's like, I don't hold a moral high ground. Before I'm sober, during sobriety and until the day I die, I'm a human being. I still make mistakes now. There's no line for me, like, I did this before I got sober and now I'm this saint. That's just not how it is for me. And what's happened for me is that I find it much easier to have compassion. What I've also experienced is if I'm quite unwilling to forgive myself, I hold other people to this really high bar that's quite unsustainable based on my own, that's unacceptable, that's not allowed, that shouldn't happen. And I hold myself to that. I find it really hard to then be compassionate, empathetic and open with other people because I hold them to that same bar as well. And it makes it unsustainable for others to be human beings. People I love, people I come into contact with, people I'm surrounded by. And because of that, I then found it really difficult to forgive other people. And what I used to believe forgiveness was, is if I forgive somebody for something they've done or something that's happened, it's an invitation to have someone back in my life and to condone what's happened. And what I've learned is, for me, recovery is just, I've used the word learn because for me, it is all about learning and it continues to be. What I've learned is that I want to be free of resentment and anger and judgment and spite and vengeance. And the act of forgiveness takes away that black feeling that sits within me when I'm in that. And forgiveness is about freeing me and them. And freeing them from that rent-free headspace that they're occupying within my mind. Because I don't want that. Because when I'm black like that, it bleeds out everywhere in my life. And I let go of stuff today far more easier. But it has taken time to do that. You know, my mother-in-law, I had a very difficult relationship with her. And we no longer communicate because of things that happened. But when I was new, I absolutely was unwilling to make amends to her. But over time, that changed because my perspective and my view on forgiveness, letting go, acceptance changed. And so, to wrap up, for me, forgiveness is a process for me, and it's not instant. And I'm not in control of everything. I work with what I've got and try my best. I'm definitely not in control of people forgiving me, but I hope that I've received forgiveness. I do believe that if I try to be forgiving of others, it opens up the ability for people to do that with me. And I'm sure that's me done, so I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Hello, Tom Alcoholic.
Hi.
Thank you everyone for having me. So I'm not an expert on forgiveness, but I do have a couple of thoughts. So I also I Googled what is forgiveness, and the first thing that came up was to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone. So the instructions for forgiveness are literally located in the Big Book. There's a prayer that asks me to take a kindly and tolerant view of others and ask God to remove my anger. One thing I like about recovery is I think it, aside from producing sobriety, which I do find lovely, it makes me feel a bit more like a human. And all of the actions I think I'm asked to take in recovery, I can't get away from the sense of like really knowing that they're things that I am supposed to be doing. I can feel resistance towards them a lot because quite often they're uncomfortable, but I cannot get away from the sense that everything I'm asked to do here, such as forgiving, not having secrets and making amends at things that I know on a kind of a deep level I'm supposed to be getting on with. And before I really kind of engaged in an intense step process, I had kind of an inkling that maybe my anger was a little bit of a problem because people kept leaving me. And I heard in meetings, you know, resentment's not very good. And I wasn't really sure exactly what to do about it. But the person I was most angry with was my dad. And I spent about 6 months every single morning just throwing the cover off myself, getting on my knees and asking God to show me compassion for my dad. And I don't know exactly why I started doing that because no one told me to other than people kept saying pray. But there was something kind of in me that was like, I think maybe I need to do something about this anger that I've got going on. So I got a couple thoughts on forgiveness. Firstly, I think I had a couple of funny ideas about what forgiveness was. Firstly, I thought forgiveness made me weak. I thought there was some kind of strength or maybe like coolness in being angry. I walked around for, I think, for a very long time thinking I was a tortured artist. I don't produce any art. Mostly I think I was just tortured, but I think really the thing is I was mostly boring. And I think I had a funny, I think this being angry as well, I think it kind of bled out into a lot of my relationships, because I thought intimacy was just me telling people an ascending order of things that had upset me over the course of my life. And because I thought that was intimacy, which it wasn't, because I wasn't, most of the things I was exaggerating. And the second thing was, wasn't actually reviewing anything true about me. It was just a list of things that I was annoyed about, and just like taking people hostage. Another kind of funny idea I had about forgiveness was thinking I had to like the person. I also do not have to like the person. And the third thing is, forgiveness is not the same thing as condoning. So forgiveness is about freedom, about being free of anger and resentment. It is completely separate to whether or not the action that has caused the disturbance in me was moral or not. And I think one of my rules about forgiveness was I needed to decide how moral the action was that the other person took, and then I would forgive them to the extent that I thought they deserved it. So I just had that sort of like varying levels of anger towards people around my life. I guess what I kind of learned going through the steps about forgiveness was the source of my upset is always within me. I'm not upset because of what happened. I'm upset because of the way I reacted to the thing that happened. My reactions are determined by my beliefs, and my beliefs can change by using the program. And what that really looks like is identifying what my funny beliefs are, discussing them with another trusted member of AA or my sponsor, and then going to prayer. And there's really like nothing that has ever upset me. That process of figuring out why my disturbance has come, talking to someone about it, and then praying hasn't completely unknotted. It doesn't mean, I think emotions are a bit like a fart. So like I was spent very long being very, very angry. When I decided to forgive, there was still a few weeks kind of like latency period between the act deciding to forgive and then kind of not feeling disturbed about it anymore. So it is a bit of a process, I think. And also, it doesn't mean I don't get angry anymore. It just means that I'm basically just fully convinced that I'm wrong when I'm disturbed nowadays. Like I've got a little step 11 evening review on my phone. Still says resentful occasionally. The big difference is I can now scroll back about 2 or 3 years and see every single time I've been resentful. So it feels a little bit less like it's real. I think another thing about forgiveness is people in AA, and I speak for myself, but like people in AA have generally had some like interesting pasts. We have kind of a different kind of various kind of backgrounds, and if you talk to enough alcoholics, in my case at least, I found there were two things. Firstly, I found other alcoholics who had been harmed in the way that I'd been harmed, and they were completely at peace, which was good and also kind of annoying, because I liked being a victim, because I thought there was. I thought there were things that were categorically bad, and because they had happened, I was then forever doomed to be not at peace. So meeting people that had those things happen, and they were completely at peace, meant that me being disturbed was a choice. So forgiveness ultimately is a choice, but it never feels like that when I'm upset. And the second kind of alcoholic I'd speak to is someone who has done the thing that was done to me to someone else. And in that case, I found that sometimes even more helpful than the person who was harmed in the same way as me, because we're with AAs, for some reason, I can go straight in like immediately at the level of compassion. I kind of know that everyone in AA, we're here for the same reason, and I am kind of a deeply flawed and broken person. And when I see another AA has caused harm to someone else, I don't think they're bad. I see that they're running on some combination of selfishness and bad ideas. And I find it very easy to extend compassion to people in AA that I know have behaved very badly. And once I develop that kind of compassion muscle, it really would extend, it started to extend out to everyone else that I was very angry, that I was very angry with in my life. I think one other thing, I guess, whenever I am upset, it doesn't feel like forgiveness is a choice in the moment, because it doesn't feel like it's a choice in the moment. I also regularly like choose not to forgive because I really like quite, I quite enjoy the misery that comes from my, the misery that comes from my anger. I quite like being a victim because it absolves me of my responsibility of having to take, any responsibility for my own life. But usually my kind of process is it gets so bad that I consider ending it or working the program. And most of the time I end up working the program. And the last thing is I just wanted to tell a story. Someone asked me a few months ago, what's your favorite thing that's happened in the last year? And it was a few months ago. I was sat in a tea room with my mum and her boyfriend, Pete. And Pete was teasing me. He said, Tom, you are awful. And I said, you should have seen me when I was drinking. And then I turned to my mum and she went, yes, you were fucking awful. Now, the reason I think that's very, very good is I made amends to my mum about 2.5 years ago. And so in the 2 years between having that kind of official amends conversation and this conversation, we basically never spoke about my cruel behavior. We never spoke about like how badly I'd behaved. We never spoke about kind of, we never spoke about it. It was kind of this black kind of gray cloud that we just like avoided. And in that moment, what it felt like is like I was truly forgiven. And she stopped being, it felt like for the first time that she felt relaxed around me. And so that was a very nice blessing of recovery. But the thing I learned about forgiveness in that moment is she didn't say what I did was okay. And she didn't actually tell me that she forgave me, but she just acted normally with me. And I think I could probably learn a lot from that. So I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Tom. Now let's move to the question and answer portion. So these go together. So I think, do you practice self-forgiveness and how can we forgive ourselves? Does anyone want to come in on that topic?
You read it again.
Well, I think someone's got to try it.
I don't have a specific daily program for forgiving myself. When I say I need to forgive myself, it's usually some flavor of you're a piece of shit or I feel guilty about something. The best way that I've found, for self-forgiveness was making all of the amends that I've owed, because that really helped alleviate the guilt. And the second one, you're a piece of shit, basically means you're not being very useful, Tom. So looking at all the areas of my life that I could probably be more effective in. So going to work, working when I'm at work, and also like being generally useful, not just in work and family and AA, but just like, am I contributing something socially as well? Like, am I doing something useful in all the areas of my life? And also maybe I need to get over myself sometimes. So... yeah, that's it.
I did say about self-forgiveness. I do believe that recovery has allowed me to move into being the version of me I was meant to be. And alcohol really took that away. I speak a lot about my parenthood because that was the role I had when I got sober, and it's the role that I still have. My primary function other than here is to my family. How I've worked on self-forgiveness is a daily process of moving towards being that person. And what that's looked like for me is really simply in the early days, I mean, about being useful and reliable and dependable. I've moved into what I always wanted to be. You know, my kids can rely on me. I'm now a grandmother and I look after my grandson and will shortly look after my granddaughter, which is a massive testament to forgiveness, because my children were raised by me, you know, and I wouldn't have suggested you left the houseplant with me. So the fact that they're leaving their offspring with me says quite a lot. I forgive myself because I truly believe that had I not been afflicted with this illness and behaved in the way I did, my sober reality is I don't do those things that I did when I drank. You know, I don't leave my children unattended. I don't, you know, I don't look after my grandson and leave him in the park with a packet of crisps and a fizzy drink while I'm in the pub opposite. I don't, you know, drink myself to blackout and leave him in front of the telly. You know, they're not the things I did. And the stuff that, you know, with my husband, I've worked at being a good wife, you know, and just being an effective human being. And I find forgiveness of myself because I don't believe that I would have behaved in the way that I did had I not been in active alcoholism, because my reality is I don't do it today. You know, those behaviours are not how I am today. And that helps me to move to that place of forgiveness and acceptance, because the two aren't the same. It's night and day.
Okay, let's do the next question. So the next questions, I think these two go together, but I'll just read one of them. So, how do you forgive those who are or have been cruel, humiliated you? A couple of people have humiliated me in the past, took advantage, and I haven't yet let go.
I think for me, the kind of like what was shared earlier, like forgiveness is a choice, you know, like ultimately something that helped me a lot was thinking of forgiveness for myself, you know, like there were a couple of things that I found the idea of forgiving difficult, and to think of I'm forgiving so I can be free, like ultimately it talks about in the book resentment being fatal, you know, like I don't really have an option. If I want to stay sober and I want to stay alive, like I have to be free from this resentment. Maybe that sounds a bit brutal, but something that really helped me was actually to utilize the fellowship as well, of like there are so many people with, you know, you'll meet someone who has had the same experience as you. Like, there are people out there, and almost that speaking with someone else who has had the same or very similar experience, really, really helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, next one. How do you forgive when you're angry or bothered by principles, ideas, beliefs, or ideologies rather than actual people?
I have a couple of thoughts. So I guess the first thing I always ask myself is, why am I thinking about it? That's my general thing. If I'm annoyed with the news, stop watching the news. The second thing is, I find it very hard to dismantle resentments against vague and abstract kind of concepts. I think this is okay to say on a tape. I worked with a sponsee once who had a large resentment against the woke movement. And what we ended up doing, instead of dismantling the woke movement, because it didn't mean anything, what we ended up looking at was one concrete case of something that had happened that he had then kind of tarred the woke movement onto. And I generally find when I'm angry at a principle or some kind of vague abstract thing, there's usually one thing that's happened that I can then look at. And that is the way to getting on, like to becoming coming a piece of it, because there's always something I can look at that's concrete.
I I feel that for me, I think Tom shared a little bit of what I mean. When I got sober, my step four was huge. I mean, it was like War and Peace, and there was a lot in there. And I do believe that the process of recovery is like a process of subtraction. So for me, the aim of staying sober and moving in the place of forgiveness and acceptance and letting go should and does for me mean that I don't pick up as many resentments, because I'm supposed to living in that place of, you know, much more freedom emotionally. So for me, you know, controversially, people and situations are shit and people are twats, but I have to find acceptance around it. And just like, I can make it really wordy and difficult, and I can write inventory forever, but if I don't change my attitude, I'm just writing forever. And I really need to just get to a place where it's like, people are going to do what they're going to do, things are going to happen that I'm not going to like, and I just need to move through life being at peace with a lot of that stuff, because I'm completely out of control of it. And so what my step four looked like as a newcomer, God willing, I never end up with a version of War and Peace like that again, and nor should I, because if I'm living that way of life, finding that, I should be just at more at peace and less likely to be like Velcro pulling up resentments left, right and centre, because I'm not in control of anything whatsoever. So for me, it really is like, they're all going to do what they're going to do and things are going to happen. I have to find acceptance.
Thank you. Okay, how about this one? Any tips for helpful literature to aid the process of forgiveness, crucially, besides the big book? they've got the measure of you all.
I think there's loads. I do, do you? Yeah. I think there's loads. I think there's really amazing helpful stuff. We're, you know, modern age podcasts, YouTube. I mean, you know, it's not approved AA literature. There are certain spiritual teachers who have a lot to say on that stuff that's not in the big book. I think other fellowships can help move us with that stuff, depending on what your particular issue is. You know, we're blessed to have a fellowship for every need and want. Asking others, do you know what, how do other people do it? We've got an absolute unsuspected inner resource within this fellowship, within other people. Ask each other, how did you forgive so and so? How did you work through that? I hear it in meetings, I see it, we're all living proof of what is possible. And my poor husband, he has no one he can go and ask anything about. I mean, he could ask me if he wants, but he just doesn't have that. So, I mean, I'm like, anywhere in the world I could ask someone for help on something. And it doesn't have to be in the big book. Again, controversially, I don't think all the answers are in there to everything. I think there is really a lot of useful stuff elsewhere, especially not in people's opinions, but in people's experiences.
Are we allowed to name people? Because it's AA.
You can do what you like.
Yeah,
okay,
go.
Cool. Well, I like C.S. Lewis. In the book, The Weight of Glory, he has an essay called On Forgiveness. And one of the points he makes is so it's this point of like forgiveness isn't condoning. He's like, one element of forgiveness is really looking at the nitty gritty of a situation and saying, actually, like that was a lot of that was rubbish, but I'm still going to be at peace with this person regardless of how they've been. So C.S. Lewis, I find very good. I really like the book A Way to Love by Anthony DeMello. So, because a lot of that is really kind of recognizing that anytime I'm upset about anything, the embarrassment, the humiliation's within me. It's always within me. It's not to do with anyone else. Yeah, that's about it, really.
How about this one? So, have you been angry at God or the way the universe is, and how did you get past it?
I've been very angry at God many times.
Yeah.
I feel like it's quite a regular occurrence, to be honest. I don't know. yeah, the way the universe is, an angry God, how did I get past it? I think for me, like, the overriding thing is I just don't know. Like, I just don't, I can't, I don't have the full picture. I don't know what God's plan is. I don't know, I don't know what's been before. I don't know what's to come. I don't even know everything that's happening right now. So kind of that acceptance of just not knowing, and trusting that whatever way the universe is, whatever life looks like, it's okay. I'm being looked after. I'm being taken care of.
Yeah, I agree, the acceptance thing. I think when I'm most angry with God, it's usually coupled with why me? And the reality is, why not? Like, I'm no different to other people. And some really fucking shit things have happened actually in sobriety. And the thing is, it's the things that have happened are shit, but I'm sure they've happened. I'm absolutely sure they've happened to other people, because I'm not that special and different. But I do believe that everything happens for a reason, and I hold on to that, because there'd be absolutely no point in anything that I do if there wasn't. And therefore, if it all happens for a reason, even though I don't know what it is right now, and I might not even have the answer, it will eventually come. And my experience is, I've never gone into something and come out worse the other side of it, regardless of how shit it's been. And I do believe that's because God will always carry me.
We'll zoom out from any given situation. I don't actually know, like, if I zoom out and there's something that I think is bad, zoom out from it enough and I start not really be sure what actually bad is. But given, let's assume that, like, I can actually be the judge of things and say that things I do know for sure that they are bad. I think one reason I would be angry at God is because I think he's treating me unfairly. But firstly, I don't really know what that means. And secondly, I think everyone just takes it in turns to have a bit of a bad time. Why wouldn't it be my time?
Very good. Okay, and the last question I've got here. So how can we help people forgive others?
I think for myself, like, that willingness to forgive had to come from within.
Yeah.
Like quite a lot of stuff, you know, like, it's got to, I have to be willing to forgive. How can we help other people? I suppose there is that, like, being available to help and to show others, like, to share my experience with others, but I don't know if they're unwilling to look at forgiveness, and I'm not sure what I can do.
You might have been saved by a couple more questions.
More.
Okay, here we go. Is there a danger in becoming a moral arbiter when practicing forgiveness? If so, how do you overcome that danger?
Yeah, wow. Like I said, vengeful, spiteful, and vindictive. Like, I don't want to be a moral arbiter, because who am I to judge? Like, I'm far from... I mean, if I was judged on my thinking, we'd really be in trouble. Thankfully, my thinking and actions don't often align today. I don't want to be, because then I think it also leads to a massive sense of pressure that I'm in charge of things, and I really was quite happy to let go of that and give that to God. I think it's that beautiful word, balance. It's balance. And I don't think I can force anyone to be forgiving. I can encourage them to cultivate the idea or cultivate willingness to try. But you can't force someone. I couldn't be forced to be forgiving or force someone to be willing to forgive me.
Can you read the question again?
Is there a danger in becoming a moral arbiter when practicing forgiveness? If so, how do you overcome that danger?
Well, forgiveness is completely separate to the thing that has happened. So forgiveness is very much about recognizing, yeah, okay, maybe there was or there was an event. Whether or not that event was moral or immoral is like kind of irrelevant. What I'm looking at is my reaction to a thing that's happened. So whether or not something is moral or not moral is completely unrelated to the question of forgiveness. So in forgiving, there is 0% chance of becoming a moral arbiter because I am withdrawing my judgment completely from the situation. So I'm not sure I 100% understand the question, but I don't think it makes you a moral arbiter.
Okay, well, that's the last of the questions, so I guess we'll wrap things up. That's all the time we have, I'm afraid. The remaining sessions today are applying the programme to relationships, applying the programme to work, and service as a way of life. Let's close with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.